Ruth, chapter 56. One day, four people leave the pleasant little village of Bethlehem. This town of the tribe of Judah lies a little to the south of Jerusalem. They climb the hills where the inhabitants of their village, their neighbors, friends, and relatives probably stare after them. When they reach the top of the hill, they stop and remain standing there for a while, looking around. These people are a man with his wife and two children, two boys. They cast a last look at Bethlehem, where they have lived for so many years, and where undoubtedly they were born. The man turns around and walks on. "Come," he says, "are you going with me? Let us go then." With a sigh, the woman turns around and follows her husband. Tears come into her eyes. They are leaving Bethlehem, and departure is usually depressing. But they must go forward, for they are on their way to Moab, and Moab is still far away. "Going to Moab? What must they do there? Who are these people? Why do they leave Bethlehem, their dwelling place?" Children, it still was during the time of the judges. As yet there were no kings over the Israelites. We have told you of various judges, haven't we? Once, during this time, a famine prevailed in the land of Canaan. How could that be? Didn't the Lord say that Canaan was a land flowing with milk and honey? That means that milk and honey would be plentiful. Not only milk and honey, but also wheat and barley, grapes and other fruits. In short, there would be an abundance of food. There would be plenty of everything. And now famine prevails. There isn't enough food. They have scarcity and not abundance. The people suffer hunger. Why did this famine come? Alas, the Israelites forsook the Lord. Therefore the Lord withheld his blessings. He punished the children of Israel. Undoubtedly, this scarcity was during the time when year after year the Midianites destroyed the crops and the cattle were robbed from the pastures. You still remember that, don't you? We told you about that a few chapters back. Do you still know who was used as a means in God's hand to deliver the Israelites at that time? He was Gideon, wasn't he? Probably it was during this famine that a rich and honored man by the name of Elimelech lived in Bethlehem, and the name of his wife was Naomi. They had two children, both boys, named Mahlon and Chilion. This was a happy family. They lacked nothing, for they were rich. Elimelech had fields upon which wheat and barley were cultivated. He had vineyards in which the most delicious grapes grew. Elimelech hoped that it always would remain prosperous. But Israel began to worship idols, and the Lord punished that people for their idolatry. God came with his judgments. The enemies came yearly. They destroyed the wheat and barley, picked the grapes from the vineyards, and stole the cows and sheep from the pastures. Elimelech also lost his wheat and barley, and now what must he and his family eat? Every year the same thing happened. Shortage also came in the home of Elimelech and Naomi. They too suffered hunger. Elimelech thought, "Do you know what? We will leave this place. We will no longer remain here. If we remain living in Bethlehem, we will die from starvation." Do you know what he did? He sold his lands, his vineyards, his home, yes, everything which he owned, and departed. He wants to go to Moab, because he had heard that the Midianites did not come into the land of the Moabites. Famine does not reign there. They have plenty of wheat in Moab. So we see him now with his wife and children leaving Bethlehem. He is on his way to Moab. But Elimelech, may we ask you something? Did you first bend your knees and ask the Lord whether you could go? Why, no, Elimelech did not do that. He became angry and would no longer remain living in Bethlehem. He will no longer suffer want, but he again wants to have plenty of food. He doesn't even want to remain in his own country. No, he goes to Moab to get away from all this misery. O Elimelech, don't you know that the Moabites are heathens, and they worship idols? Can you worship the Lord there in Moab? No, Elimelech, there is no tabernacle there, and the priests of the Lord are not there. Elimelech, you are not only leaving your own beloved native country, but you are leaving the God of that country too. Elimelech, you also should think of your two children, Mahlon and Chilion. Must you bring them to that heathen country? Are you not afraid that you will begin to live as those heathens and bow down before wood and stone? It is so dangerous there for your children. What have you with a house full of food if the Lord doesn't command his blessing upon it? Elimelech doesn't think of that. He doesn't want to consider that, but he wants to have plenty of food. He wants to run away from the judgments of God. The blessing of the Lord can never rest upon that. Man, you should return. You should rather bend your knees, confessing before the Lord your guilt and the sins of your people, and ask the Lord to deliver your nation from those dreadful enemies. That would have been much better. Besides leaving, he also sold his land and all his possessions. Neither was he allowed to do that. The Lord had forbidden it. But Elimelech would not listen and goes anyway. Behold, he walks over the roads along the fields which have been robbed of the grain. Finally, they come to Jordan and cross this river. They walk across the land in which the tribe of Reuben lives, and at last come to the border of Moab. They cross the border, and they stand upon foreign soil. Elimelech buys a home there. Now he has a new fatherland. He will not be troubled with the Midianites there. They do not come into Moab. Famine will not distress them there, and for they have plenty of food. That is all fine, Elimelech, but you now live in a country upon which lies the curse of God. But Elimelech does not concern himself about that. Years pass by. One day we see three women walking over the roads of Moab. Who are they? Let us go look. An old woman is among them. Her hair is gray, and her back is bent. She is Naomi. What? Is that Naomi? Is that the same woman who came into Moab with her husband and two sons? Yes, it is Naomi. We hardly would recognize her anymore. She has become so old. Where is Elimelech, your husband, Naomi? Elimelech is dead. He has been dead many years. They only lived in Moab a short time when he died. Elimelech ran away from Canaan so that the Lord could not punish him. He would not submit himself to God, but the Lord could find him in Moab also. Elimelech feared that he would die from starvation in Israel. He went to Moab to remain alive. But the outcome was just the opposite. He died in Moab. He lies buried there in that faraway heathen country. Oh, how sad Naomi was. What must she do now? She is a widow in a strange country. She weeps bitter tears. Naomi, return. No, she doesn't do that. She remains there. Both her sons, Mahlon and Chilion, marry Moabitish girls. The wife of Mahlon was named Ruth, and the wife of Chilion was named Orpah. But that was not permitted. The Israelites must never marry heathen girls, and surely not with Moabitish girls. That is the result of Elimelech's going away. He knows nothing of it, for he is dead. But Mahlon and Chilion also died. The Lord took them away. Probably they lie buried in the same grave with their father Elimelech. That we do not know. Poor Naomi, you have lost everything. Your husband and both your children are gone. Is it any wonder that her hair turned gray and her back bent and she became stooped from all the sorrow? Both her daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, came to live with her in her house. So these three women lived together somewhere in Moab in a small house. Naomi told these two women about the wonders which God performed for the Israelites, and also about the promises which God gave to Israel. She told about the Savior, the Lord Jesus, who would come one day. Naomi could not be silent about that, for she had received a new heart from the Lord. Therefore, she loved the Lord. Orpah listened and thought those narratives were interesting. But that was all. Ruth also listened and thought those narratives were nice too. But she became jealous of the people of Israel. She thought, "Oh, I wish that I also had such a God. Oh, if he only were my God." A longing came into her heart, and for the God of Israel, for the living God. The idols of Moab were dead gods. She had no respect for them anymore. But her desire was toward the God of Israel. Children, the Lord sanctified these narratives of Naomi to the heart of Ruth. One day Naomi heard that God had delivered Israel from their enemies. She heard that there was bread, and famine no longer prevailed. Then Naomi could not remain in Moab. She said to Ruth and Orpah, "I am going to return to my native country." Naomi did think a great deal of these two women. It would not be easy to part with them, but the love to Israel's God and the love to the service of the Lord was still stronger than her affection for Orpah and Ruth. Behold, they lock the door and leave. These are the three women which we see walking over the roads of Moab. When they come to the border, Naomi stands still. With trembling voice she says, "My daughters, you must return now. Go back to the house of your mother. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. When Orpah and Ruth hear this, they both burst into weeping. Why does Naomi say this? Is she sending them away? Doesn't she want Ruth and Orpah to go with her? No, that isn't the reason. Naomi wishes to know why they want to go with her. She wants to prove them. We read the answer of Ruth and Orpah in the Bible, which is, "Surely we will return with thee unto thy people." Both of them say this. They decide to go with Naomi. But Naomi continues, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? There is no future for you in Israel. You cannot marry there. The Lord has strictly forbidden that in our laws. If I still would have children, then later you probably could marry them, but that cannot be. I have nothing, and you will not be able to get another husband. Really, you should return. For me, it is much worse than for you. You can begin life all over again in Moab, but I have nothing anymore. The hand of the Lord is gone out against me. The Lord has removed everything from me. Farewell." Orpah and Ruth weep again when they hear this. Orpah then kisses her mother-in-law and goes away weeping. She doesn't kiss Ruth. She expects Ruth to return with her. But Ruth remains standing. "Ruth, you too should go back," Naomi urges. "Orpah has returned to her people and to her gods. You should do the same." It is quiet for a moment. Then Ruth answers, "Mother, I cannot do it. I will not do it. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried." Yes, she even confirms it with an oath. Listen to it. "The Lord do so to me, and more also if aught but death part thee and me." Oh, why does Orpah go back and not Ruth? Didn't Orpah love Naomi? Of course, Orpah loved her mother-in-law with her whole heart, but she did not love the God of Naomi. Orpah remained unconverted. When she heard that she never would be able to marry in Israel and that there was no future for her there, and she thought, "There is nothing to do about it but to return." With weeping, she left them and went to her people and her gods. Probably she again married a Moabitish man, a man of her own nation. She again began to worship the idols of Moab and forgot the God of Israel. The reason for that was that Orpah did not receive a new heart. Ruth loved Naomi, but she also loved the God of Naomi. Ah, and she did not know this God personally, but she had received respect for him. Yes, more than that, deep down in her heart lay a desire toward him. When Naomi said, "Return to your gods," Ruth shuddered. "What? Go back and worship those stone images again? No, never. They are no gods. She will never worship them again. Even if she can never marry in Israel again, and if she has no future there, that is nothing. That is not bad. If she can worship God for the rest of her life, If she can have a small place in that land where this God is worshipped, that would satisfy her. Ruth made the choice between the gods of her people and the living God of Israel. By grace, she made the good choice, and because Orpah was without this grace, she made the bad choice. By this, you can see the great difference between Orpah and Ruth. Two women approach Bethlehem. They are Naomi and Ruth. Both are silent. What went on in the heart of Naomi? 10 years ago, as she walked over the same road with her husband Elimelech and their two sons. Then they went to Moab. Now Naomi returns from Moab. Her husband and children are dead and lie buried in that foreign heathen country. Every footstep brings painful memories to her. Her eyes burn with tears. In silence, she goes forward. Ruth, her daughter-in-law, walks beside her. Ruth is silent too. Did she understand what was going on in the heart of her beloved mother-in-law? Besides, she is facing an unknown future. She does not regret her choice. But oh, will this glorious, this formidable God of Israel ever become her God? She can no longer live without God. Her soul longs for him. But she is not worthy that Israel's God should ever look upon her, for she is a Moabitess, one who is cursed. Behold, they walk into the village. The people see these two women coming, and they look at them. No, they do not know them. When they look again, then, they recognize the old woman with the gray hair and bent back as Naomi. They clasp their hands together in astonishment and say to each other, "Is this Naomi? Is this the same Naomi whom we knew as a healthy woman?" And they cannot believe their own eyes. Naomi hears what they say. She stands still, straightens herself from her bowed posture, and answers solemnly, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, and for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call me Naomi?" She no longer wants to be called Naomi, but Mara. Why? Children, the name Naomi means beautiful or pleasantness, and the name Mara means bitterness. It is as if she says, "When I went away, I was a happy woman and a happy mother, but now I have nothing. Now I am empty." So these women come to Bethlehem to live. But what must Naomi do? When she went away, she was rich. Now she is poor. How must they obtain their livelihood? She cannot work anymore, and she is too old for that. It is not necessary for her to work. Another will work for her. Even though she has no husband or children, she still has a daughter-in-law who loves her dearly. Ruth has come with her from the plains of Moab. One day Ruth says to Naomi, "Mother, do you know what I am going to do? I am going to glean ears of corn. Is it all right with you?" It is just at the beginning of the time of harvest. The barley stands ripe in the fields, and everywhere they are busy mowing the golden yellow grain. An ear of grain would sometime break off in the process of mowing and fall upon the ground. These broken off ears do do not remain lying upon the ground. No, they are picked up by the poor. That takes place in different lands even to this day. One morning Ruth leaves her home early. Naomi approved of her plan. It was necessary. But where must Ruth go? She doesn't know anyone in Bethlehem. See her walking through the streets. On the outskirts of the village, she sees a field where the reapers are working industriously. She walks to this field and begins to glean diligently. She doesn't know to whom this field belongs. She works without resting. Time and again she stoops to pick up broken off ears of grain. That work is tiresome. A little later, a man comes walking through the fields. This man is Boaz, the owner. Alas, today the farmers curse their help all too often. But that does not happen here. Listen to what Boaz says. The Lord be with you. And the reapers answer, the Lord bless thee. Oh, if that only would take place in the present day, we can be jealous of that. Tell us, who is this Boaz? He is one of the most notable inhabitants of Bethlehem. This man is a close relative of Elimelech and to the deceased husband of Naomi. So, he is related to Naomi. But Ruth does not know this. Oh, that Ruth must come into his field. It could have been that she would have gleaned in the field of a complete stranger. But the Lord watched over Ruth, and he guided her so in that she came to the field of Boaz. Boaz sees Ruth immediately, and he asks the man who has set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? The overseer answers, she is Ruth, the Moabitess, who came out of the country of Moab with Naomi. She asked me if she could glean, and I gave her permission. She came here early this morning, and her remaining at home is of short duration. Without resting, she diligently works on. Boaz calls her. How the heart of Ruth must have pounded. Will this eminent man also permit her to pick up the ears of grain? Or will she be sent away because she is a Moabitess? Because she belongs to the enemies of the people of Israel? Boaz speaks kindly to her and says, you must remain here. No one will harm you. Do not go to the field of another. Remain upon my fields. Ruth does not expect this kindness. She becomes a little ashamed and says, why are you so good to me? I am but a stranger. Boaz answers, I have heard that you have remained with your mother-in-law and that you are so good to her. It has been told me how you left your father and mother, your friends and relatives, and your native country. The Lord, the God of Israel, bless you for this deed. Thus, it was beyond the expectations of Ruth. She could remain. She was not driven away. A little later, the reapers have their meal. They eat this on the field. Most likely, they have made a covering by means of canvas cloth and a few poles. They can sit under this in the shade and eat their food. Ruth also may come there. And Boaz gives her bread and parched corn. He gives her so much that she cannot eat it all. She has some left, but she does not throw it away. No, she saves it. Tonight she will give it to her mother-in-law. Directly after the meal, she gets up and again gleans. When she is gone, Boaz says to the reapers, "Now and then you must let a handful of ears drop. Do not pick them up. Leave them for Ruth to glean. Ruth may also glean between the sheaves. Other gleaners may not do this. They must wait until the sheaves are taken from the fields. A distinction is made with Ruth. When she finally stops gleaning that evening, she beats out, we would say, threshes the ears, and she has a bag full of barley. She has much more than the other gleaners. Glad and cheerful, she goes home to her mother-in-law. Naomi has been waiting in suspense the entire day, for she did not know how Ruth would make out. Ruth walks in, and Naomi can see by the cheerful face of Ruth that it went well. Thankfully, Ruth lets Naomi see the barley she had gathered, and she calls out, "O mother, look how much I have. I have been on the fields of Boaz. He was so friendly. He permitted me to eat with his reapers. I could sit next to them, and he gave me so much that I could not eat it all. Here, this is what I had over. It is for you." When Naomi hears all this, tears of gladness come into her eyes. She thanks the Lord for it. "It is good, Ruth. You must remain on the fields of Boaz. Do not go upon any other field," she says to Ruth. Day after day, Ruth goes and gleans ears of grain. When the barley is all gathered in, they begin with the wheat, and Ruth always gleans ears upon the fields of Boaz. She never went to the field of another. At last the harvest is gathered, and Ruth remains at home with Naomi. She helps her mother-in-law. Ruth was not lazy. That you could have noticed, couldn't you? She was such a loving young woman, wasn't she? Girls, are you like Ruth? Do you also help your mother as much as you can when she is busy? Boys and girls, as to the rest, I will be short, because it will be difficult for you to understand. Not long after, Ruth married this rich Boaz. Then it was not necessary for her to glean ears of grain any more. Ruth received a place among the children of Israel. But did Ruth leave Naomi then? Did she let Naomi live by herself? To be sure, she did not. She took her mother-in-law with her to her home, and Naomi was well off. And when a child was born in this home of Boaz and Ruth, they called this child Obed. Many years go by. When Obed became a young man, he also married, and his child was called Jesse, and Jesse was the father of David. So Ruth was the great-grandmother of David, the king of Israel, about whom we will tell you later. And do you know who came forth from David centuries later? The Lord Jesus. Didn't the Lord take good care of Ruth? Ruth never regretted that she left the idols of Moab and that she chose the God of Israel. This God also became her God, and when she died, her soul went into heaven. Hasn't this been a nice story? When we read it, we all think what a nice young woman Ruth was, and what a pity that Orpah went back. We do not think that Orpah was so nice. This narrative is in the Bible to warn us not to do as Orpah did. How are matters with you, children? Is wealth and honor your greatest desire? Do you think only of your future while here upon earth?" Orpah did that, and when she heard that there was no future for her in Israel, she went back. "You also must choose, one or the other, the Lord or the world and sin. Oh, may you by grace make the same choice as Ruth once did at the borders of Moab. Oh, children, you now kneel at night before you go to bed, probably at the feet of a God-fearing father or a converted mother, but will you forget it later and go into the world? Then you do as Orpah did. She also went into the world. She began to worship the idols of Moab. Orpah may have had success and prosperity in her future life, but when she died, she had to leave everything behind. She did not learn to know the Lord. Life is so short, and death is so sure. This means that we can die at any moment, for we can have an accident or become sick. Young people can also die. That happens so often, doesn't it? No doubt there are some among you who had a friend who is already dead. Did you ever think, suppose it were I that had died? What then? Therefore I call to you with all the seriousness that is in me. Seek ye the Lord, while he may be found. Call ye upon him, while he is near.